Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this cold day, Lord God, that we are alive to see it and to feel the cold. We thank you for the very breath we breathe. And so, Holy God, as we stand before you today and we gather here, we pray that you will be with us by your Holy Spirit. You will come and be with us. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Come and be in our midst. Come with all of your quickening power. Come and touch each and every one of us individually, and then touch us as a church, that we may be revived to go forth and do God's work. Even when we're weary, you give us the strength to go forth. And let the words of my mouth, Lord God, and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Only in your sight, Lord God. For you are refuge and our strength. You are Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today we have, you see on the bulletin, we did give you a little combination of love and the love of God in Christ Jesus. If you look at the front of the bulletin, the gift of salvation. You know, it's a love relationship, salvation. Sometimes folks don't understand that, but it's because of love why we have the gift of salvation. And as I was thinking today, I was thinking earlier this morning, I thought about this other song as we look at Jesus' temptation and we look at the scripture on salvation. I thought, what a journey that went on for us. What a journey Jesus took for us so that we may have this gift. And so I thought of this little song that we sing sometimes here and that I like a lot, and I sometimes overdo it, so I give it a little rest, but it's Victory in Jesus. That little song that tells us, it goes, I believe the first verse is, I heard a whole old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save someone like me. And we sing it all the time, to save someone like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. And then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Then it says, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me here, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. That's what it's all about. We're in Lent, we're reminded again, it is a victory that we have, but that victory did not just come easy for Christ. It is easy for us, or it ought to be easy for us, but it certainly, you know, wasn't easy for Christ. And the songwriter reminds us of that we have this victory in Jesus. And we want to remember that as we begin Lent. And so as we look at the text today, we are reminded of his journey. We know that he was born, Jesus was born, as we think back from the beginning, from when we started in December, we know he was born, we see his ministry beginning during that time, we have watched his epiphany, we have seen all of this happening, and then here it is, the scripture reminds us that today's scripture tells us that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read the gospel, right, the Spirit is going to be baptized, and the Spirit is going to come upon him. Right, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to be filled, and he's going to hear from God that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so we see his journey. He's now 30 years old. John the Baptist has baptized him. He's getting ready to go do the main part of his ministry, right? We don't know what happened for the last 30 years of his life, the first 30 years of his life, I should say. We see him, we don't get much about that in the text. We really don't know till he shows up at the Jordan River to be baptized, right? We kind of know a little bit about when he was 12, because he showed up in the temple and he would get up and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I have been anointed, right, to preach good news to the poor, to bring captives to the blind, to bring sight to the blind, and to set free those who have been or who have been in captive and so on. We see that great word, those great scriptures that he read from the scroll, the Isaiah scroll, as he stood up in the temple. That means he's getting ready for this journey. But it's amazing for us as we think of our own journey and our own call. Jesus knew when he was young, about 12 years old, that he had a special relationship with God. Jesus the man, before he came into his glory, knew, but nothing really happened from what we know until he was 30, right? He was being reared by his mama, his mother and his father, and certainly God himself was working in him and through him. It would take all those years, right? About 18 years of God making and molding him. So, you know, I always say to myself when I get a little bit, you get anxious about what God is doing in your life. I says, if Jesus had to wait for 18 years, I guess I'll have to wait for as long as God intended to be. So we see all this journey. And during that time, I would submit to you, I am sure that God was working in him and through him and getting him ready for this great work that he's going to do. Great work. And now here it is. He gets ready, gets baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just like us as human beings. When you think you get ready for something, and all of a sudden, something happens that you don't expect. Something happens. Jesus is now being tempted by Satan. Scripture reminds us. And so my sermon title today is, it says, it's what? I said, from temptation to salvation. From temptation, it would start with his temptation, yet it would end up with salvation. Not for Jesus, but for us. Not for Jesus at all. And we know what temptation means, don't we? We understand what temptation is. Temptation is a desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. We are tempted to do something wrong. And a lot of synonyms for temptation is a desire, an urge, an itch, an impulse, an inclination to do something unwise. Temptation. And during Lent, we are reminded of temptation during Lent. We think about temptation because we're reflecting on our own lives and we give up things and we try not to be temptation. But also here in this story, the devil is going to be prominent for this one moment. And he's the one who's going to be doing the tempting, the act of tempting or state of being tempted, especially to do evil. And so here we read in the scriptures, so we read in the scriptures today that Jesus is now what? The scriptures reminds us, it tells us that Jesus is going to be sent into the wilderness by the devil. He says he's going to push him out into the wilderness to tempt him. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he's going to be in the wilderness. And the enemy, Satan, the devil, whatever we call him, he's going to show up during those days. And here's what the text says. He showed up when he was hungry. He had been fasting, and he was hungry, which means he was at his most vulnerable. That's when Satan shows up in our lives many times, when we're vulnerable. When things are going good sometimes, he doesn't rear his head. But the moment something is not going so well, he starts reminding of things. Oh, you're believing in this God. Why are you believing in this God and this is happening to you? Why does this happen to you? Every time I see someone who's a believer, who believes the Lord, and it's always been in church and serving God, and then they get sick or something terrible happens to them, you could just hear the enemy waiting to say, this is the God you serve, this is the God you believed in, look what has happened to you. Because that's what he does. He begins to what? Work on our psychic when sometimes we are most vulnerable. You understand what I'm saying, church? He begins to work on us, and this is exactly what we see him trying to do to Jesus. Because remember now, Jesus is what? Flesh. Jesus came as God in flesh. And because he was tempted, we too will be tempted. And so he shows up and he says to the Lord, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Right? He has the nerve to show up, and then Jesus answers, that is the first temptation. He says, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. It is written. Now you must remember this, that Jesus went what? To the Word of God. It is written. And that's why it's important for us to be in the Word and to know the Word so that we understand the promises of God. We understand what God has left for us. It says, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus would answer him, one does not live by bread alone. And then the Bible tells us that the devil led him up. Can you imagine? He led him up and Jesus is following him. I don't know how he led him because the scripture doesn't expound on that. He led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, again, he's tempting him, see, showing him all the kingdoms. He does the same thing to us. Show us all the things we could have, and we get confused. Sometimes he shows us, this is what you have here, or this is what you have here, but I could get more for you. If you just follow me and do such and such, I could get more for you. And he says to him, the second temptation, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, says Satan, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then, will you worship me, it will be all yours. So he wants what now? He wants Jesus to worship him, and he's going to give him all the kingdom of the earth. And Jesus answers him and says, it is written, the word again, the word, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So there's a big lesson for us here today in this text, because Jesus is always speaking the word. For the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. The word is true, the word of God. He says, we'd only serve. And then the devil, does that stop him? No. The third time, the Bible says, then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, will you just throw yourself down? Why don't you just kill yourself? Throw yourself down. Try to kill yourself. And then Jesus would say to him, it is written, he will command his angel concerning you. He continued, for it is written. The devil now is using the word of God. He says, for it is written, he will command his angel concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up. That's from Psalm 91. So that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus, not taking on this temptation, defeating the devil, first time, he says, Jesus answered him, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. That means he was going to come back. Church, when we're going through Lent or going through difficult times, let's be reminded that the devil is always seeking an opportune time to come back into our lives, especially when we are following the Lord. When we're seeking to follow Christ, he's always seeking an opportune time. And it's important to note that Matthew says this, speaks of the temptation just as Luke, but he switches the last two temptation. But they both speak of it, and in that time in Matthew, Jesus would say to the devil to leave him, to go and leave him alone. But here in Luke, it says, when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. So here it is, we see how important it is to know the word of God and to be able to speak into our situation through the word of God. In order to overcome our temptation, we have to speak the word of God. We have to know the word of God. We have to believe by faith in God, even though if we don't memorize scripture, but we have to believe by faith in God. The doctor diagnoses us with something, say we have something. We have to be able to speak the word of God to our sickness or to our illness or to our situation. I know that God can heal me. I know that God has sent his word forth to heal all my diseases. I know that God can change my circumstance because he has done it before. We have to believe that. And so Paul is going to tell the church now at Rome. And this is interesting because it is the word again. It is the word that is going to be spoken forth. Paul is going to speak to the word, the church. And this church, it's a new church. And they're Christians, Christian believers, Gentile believers, and there is and they are Jews. And the Jews and the Gentiles are there's some conflict going on because they're still under law.
They're still under law, and they're trying to say to the Gentile believers that in order to be live a righteous life before God, right, you have to follow the law. Even though they are following Christ, they're still holding on to the law. So that's a conflict. They're still holding. And this Roman text, chapter 10, this whole book of Romans, it's about salvation for all. If you read the summary on what the book of Romans is about, it's about salvation for all, for Jews and Gentiles, and a different form of salvation. And Paul is going to make it simple. Now, many of us know about temptation. We understand temptation because we're human. But for many Christians, especially us from mainline denominations, people don't understand what is salvation. What does salvation mean? I've heard people ask the question over and over, why do I need to be saved? What am I saving from? What did I do to be saved? I've been asked, even in this church, in Bible study, what do I need to be saved from? What did I do that I need to be saved? Well, I'm not going to go to all the doctrines and so on, but we know the doctrine of original sin. The Bible tells us, it's the word of God, that we are born, right, in original sin, and then when we are baptized, we get the forgiveness. So people don't understand that, and lots of people think of salvation as someone going around with a pamphlet, giving it to them all the time, trying to tell them that this is what it is. But Paul is telling them simple what it is today, isn't he? And he says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Simple. He says this is the word. This is the word of God. He says because the word is true that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means if you say, believe that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That means it's not salvation by works. Paul was trying to tell him it's not salvation by work. You don't have to work yourself. You cannot work yourself into heaven. We don't have enough energy or lifetime to work to get into heaven. If we're saved, we're supposed to work. If we're saved, we're supposed to what? To faith without works is dead. But Paul wants to make it simple for them. You first have to believe by faith, huh, that Jesus is Lord. Confess it, that I believe Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart. It is a faith journey. Then we have the gift of salvation, gift of being redeemed. Redemption, being redeemed because he became our atonement. He became our atonement for all the sins of the world. So as Paul reminds them today, I want to remind you on this day that that's all it takes to confess and believe. Confess, once you believe that Jesus is Lord, you must confess it, that he is Lord, and you're saved. And then the process, it's called sanctification. We begin to live. Once we are saved, we understand we are saved. The songwriter says, I am saved, saved, saved. Once we are saved, we continue the process of growing in faith in Christ. So Paul wanted him to know, the Roman church this morning, that it's not all that difficult. It's not physically difficult. It may be spiritually difficult for you if you don't want to submit yourself to Christ, to confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, do we always say that word? Do we get up and say, no, we don't always get up and say, well, Jesus is Lord or Jesus isn't. Some people say different things, but certainly you are here this morning because you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why you've been coming to church all these years. Because you believe, I would hope you believe, that we all believe, right? That Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead. And you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, to confess him. And I always say to people in church, if you have never confessed that, you ought to. You ought to be able to kneel down in prayer or wherever you're sitting and says, Lord, I believe that you're Lord, for he's Lord. He's Lord, he's risen from the dead. And he's Lord, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue must confess that he's Lord. Heaven has already become a free gift for you and I. We don't have to purchase it. We don't have to pay anything for it. There's no price. The early church would tell folks that they were, you know, paying their way out of purgatory. That's not our theology. It is given to us, freely given to us. All we have to do is to believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because as it began with Jesus' temptation, he would follow, as we follow the story through for the rest of Lent, we're going to see him, he's going to overcome that temptation, and everything else he's going to overcome that is going to come before him, he's going to overcome death on the cross. So it will be his temptation, it's going to be his crucifixion, it's going to be his death, then his resurrection, right? And then his ascension. Praises be to God. And out of all of that is going to come one thing. The key of the gospel for us is going to be salvation. So that you and I are saved and have the hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Salvation for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, yet we have to believe in him, shall be saved. And when we believe in him, we can confess. That's what it means. And so we are reminded that his temptation doesn't stand alone in history. It was a process to get us into heaven. It began the process from his baptism to his temptation to get you and me into heaven. And all we have to do is to believe and confess him as Lord. Simple message. The rest of Romans is all about that. Paul working with the children of Israel, trying to convince them that the old covenant was gone. They don't have to know all those laws. They just have to do this one thing. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart that he is Lord, then you shall be saved. So we are saved this morning, church. Thanks be to God for that. And it makes thinking of the end easier. Do we want the end to come? Doesn't matter. It's going to come. But I hope it gives you hope. Sometimes when I think of the end of my life, whenever time God chooses it to be, and I hope I'm here for a long time here on earth to do his work, but when I think of it, it makes it easier every now and then to know that I have a home and that I'm saved by God's grace. Amen. 77.